Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on July 12, 2015, and is entitled Encouragement for Single Parents.
So I hope that you have a Bible in hand. You left it in your basket because the bike is still locked up outside. Don't worry, just raise your hand and we'll make sure that the ushers get you a Bible in hand. That'll be important. We want to use the Bible today. Going to be a little bit different of approach. We usually like sticking to a main scripture. We're going to look at a few verses, and it's going to be important and significant to us. I do have some jokes. Anybody want to hear them? No, I just want to see if there's an interest. All three of you. We didn't have time last service, and so we just, and man, there's paper wads being thrown. No, I just, it's not true. But I do want to just add, let me just read a couple of them. These are actual comments that were put in church bulletins. So you want to read your bulletin and find those misnomers, those typos. You never know how it is. Here's a couple of them. Let me just lay it out here. Here's one. Actual announcements appearing in various bulletins. The ladies' Bible study will be held Thursday morning at 10. All ladies are invited to lunch in the fellowship hall after the BS is done. I don't know what you're thinking on there, but here's another one. The audience is asked to remain seated until the end of the recession. That's a long time. I can get a lot of preaching done on that one, huh? Low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 to 8:30 p.m. Please use the back door. I like that one. You know, you use the word seat, right, and you leave out a letter. This one says, ushers will eat latecomers. Okay, here's a couple more. We'll just see. The Reverend Merriweather spoke briefly, much to the delight of the audience. Sorry, that won't happen here. Okay, we'll move on to this one. Scouts are saving aluminum cans and bottles and other items to be recycled. Proceeds will be used to cripple children. A couple more. Just two more. We have a bean supper will be held on Tuesday evening in the church hall. Music will follow. What are you thinking out there? At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. Yeah, we'll leave that one. Hey, friends. Thank you for being here. If you'll take a look at the back of the bulletin, we do bulletins. We encourage people to take notes. We invite people to get into the midweek services called Mini Church. There are a number of them that are on summer break, but you can still take these same questions that are found there and kind of remember and recall what the Lord would have brought to your attention. I'm believing that He has an encouraging word for you today. And that today's title is Encouragement for single parents. Encouragement for single parents. And we make mention of the word parents, though it's encouragement for our singles, but it really is encouragement for all people. We've engaged this coming summer months on Wednesday. It is parenting class, and I'm so grateful that we're doing it. I sat in on the first one. You can jump right on in, and I want to encourage you, please do. There are two people that are heading the way, and they know what they're talking about. First is our family life pastor, Noelani Jai. Would you please stand, family life? Thank you, Noelani. Yep. Also, we have Coach Nathan Haney. Nathan, way to cut it loose, friend. And I'm telling you, they are working hard and have done a great thing. Sitting in, thank you. Sitting in on that class on Wednesday, I recognize this as a grandparent. Though I've got an empty nest, I'm starting to feather my nest with grandchildren coming back. And there are things I need to learn. Some I need to relearn. And what a gift, dear grandparents. How many know we can frustrate maybe our adult children who are parents themselves because we think we might know something? And I'm sure you do. But it's really helpful to have the Lord kind of direct the family. Please come on out. We'd love to have you come and benefit by this six-week program. Well, with that in mind, you can see now our message is an encouragement as well for singles, but especially for single parents. And I'd like to just lead us in a brief prayer. Lord, thank you for just leading us even now. Lord, you have a timely word that would enable us to say thank you for helping me, Lord, in the ways of my own life and walk and talk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to encourage you, first of all, I just felt I wanted to remind us, isn't the Lord good? How he takes things in our life that are just kind of corroded, messed up, and he will give us just life. In other words, he takes our mess and then gives us miracles that start to happen. You're here because you just realized, you know what, value in my life is to have God in my life. And one of the things, if you start to read the Bible, God's love letters for you, you recognize that God has things that he wants to bestow upon you. I mean, you could start even the prophecies that are in the Old Testament. For example, in Isaiah chapter 60 and 61, Isaiah 61:3, where the Lord says so clearly, listen, I will give you beauty for ashes. Give me your ashes. Things done, let me change your life around. He says also the oil of joy for mourning. He'll give you the spirit of praise for that spirit of heaviness. Man, what a great exchange. And God does those things for you. And I know you recognize that. But it really just focuses in on the Lord. I like that. And the Lord's wanting to do that for us even today. One of the things that I think people miss is often is the word if, I-if, if. Everybody say if. Everybody say if. If. God says, I'm going to do this for you if you will follow or if you will move. And many times we can even just say, I'm not sure why God is not moving on my behalf. I'm standing in this promise, and that's true. That's great. But we haven't done our part. There's that wonderful point of relationship with God. And we fail to recognize God says, oh, man, I'm going to do this for you if you'll just move a little closer to me. And so that's important for us to recognize. And I like the fact, one of the joy is in my life is that I always have hope no matter what I face. And it's the same with you because we have Jesus in our lives. So you can imagine people that go through what you go through, but they don't have Jesus in their life, man, they're in a hopeless condition. It really is. There is no hope. No wonder why they're feeling devastated. Now, what you and I go through, man, because of Jesus in our lives, we always feel like, yeah, things are tough, but I have hope. And that's important for us to recognize. Let me take a look because it helps our church, and it certainly the Lord has helped our church today. As we want to encourage our singles. And let's add single parents. A couple of points, first of all, you can see on your notes, loneliness. You just need to realize that is a factor that our singles deal with. It's a challenge. Next, financial lack. High on the list. You ever sit down and talk with single parents? You used to have two incomes, now you're down to one. In taking care of the family, very challenging. Next, exhaustion. Working those two or three jobs to make ends meet, and then coming home to take care of things, exhaustion. Next one, anger and unforgiveness. Friends, that's a reality that a lot of us just deal with, but especially singles who have children, because they're dealing with, here I am handling the house, and here my ex is out there looking or appearing as if they're having a great time. And to some extent, they're not responsible anymore, so this responsible parent is now taking care of things, and in their perspective, the other is out there fulfilling all of their lust and all of their desires and anything they want without any responsibilities. It can cause a person to become angry and even enter into unforgiveness. We have to be careful about that. One thing you do want to remember, it's not over till it's over. Isn't that true? Maintain, dear ones, always be on the side of right. You'll be glad you did. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It's always good to take notes when verses come out. But it does say this, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So when people think that they will never be held accountable, that's contrary to Scripture. Let's take a look at the next one is disappointment. Next one is uncertain future. Everybody will face an uncertain future. You just believe everything's going perfectly, and then things change all of a sudden. You were wonderfully married for 30 years, and all of a sudden your spouse decides to find someone else. Things change drastically. Those things really happen with our single parents. It's a challenge for them and quite disheartening. They certainly need our help. They certainly need to just draw for strength. There can be those times, for example, when we were pastoring in Banning for 15 years, there was this wonderful family. They owned and operated a rental, heavy equipment rental company. And the owner came in, gave his heart to Jesus. 6 months later, he was delivering equipment on a flatbed truck with a trailer containing a forklift. The front tire blew out. Truck went out of control, crossed over the medium of the 60 in Moreno Valley, killed instantly. He did not come home that night. That's an uncertain future for that family. People face those things. We might face those things. Those are very real. The challenge comes is if that individual or that family does not have Jesus, that makes everything a total disaster. And we need to have the Lord. Fear, guilt, and regrets of past mistakes. I think we all deal with that. Isn't it great how 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if any person is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have been done away with. Behold, all things are new. Man, past mistakes, some people, some of us, just live with regrets of past mistakes. If I only, or why didn't I? And I wish I turned in that direction with that group at that time. Well, man, let's stick with Jesus. How about rebellious children and wounded children? That's what our single parents are dealing with. It's not so much that the spouse or the parent is hurting, and they are, but children are affected by that. And that's where our parenting class comes in. So I really want to just talk in regards to just being encouraged spiritually. And you can see here on your notes, let's hit these 5 points and enjoy what God wants to speak to us even now. Spiritual encouragement. Number one, remember you're not alone. And you can see here I bracket off single. Because if you're there and people will come along and just say, well, are you married or, oh no, I'm single. Well, if you are a follower of Jesus, then you really aren't single. You actually have God with you. And let's take a look. See Hebrews chapter 13. Let's open our Bibles now or hit those apps. Hebrews chapter 13, you'll find that closer to the book of Revelation, right after 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. Hebrews 13, verse 5. I'm reading from the New King James rendering. If you have a different version, that's fine. Just follow along. Hebrews chapter 13. Remember that you are not alone, is our phrase, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Taking a look here, and when we make those references, whenever you refer to yourself as single, make sure you're not feeling or believing that God is with you. Man, if you were to take a look at Scripture, and how about it's listed there in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. He's not only going to be with you, he's going to be in you, and he will never forsake you. Now, that's an important phrase. If we were to take a look and combine those things of God's Word and his promises, we can literally say that God is in us, that God is on us, he's around us, that God is under us, he's over us. Man, he is within us. There is a devil. The only thing the Bible says is the devil is against you. But man, God is all-encompassing. That's important for you to recognize that. You say, you know what? The Bible says that. I believe it. And you start to sense his real presence. I like the Message Bible. It uses verse 5 the same way. Let me read it to you. It says, Hebrews 13, 5, don't be obsessed with getting more material things, be relaxed with what you have. Since God assured us, I will never let you down and never walk off and leave you. Man, that's important. So when you take a look at that, what an encouraging word for us today. And we are not singled and isolated. God is with you. Number two, learn to be content with your current situation. Let's take a look at Philippians chapter 4. Can you see the reference there in your notes? Let's go to the left. A few books back, Philippians chapter 4, the little epistle, you'll find it. You go past 1 and 2 Corinthians, you went too far. Come back to the right. Philippians chapter 4, let's look at verse 11. And I'm not saying with this, learn to be content with your current situation. I'm not saying to be satisfied with your current situation. But contentment is an amazing ability. Though the situation and your realities don't change, there's something of a settling in so that God can start to do something. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. The Apostle Paul says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And look at verse 13. It has that famous one, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Man, Scripture's saying, I've learned to be content. Whatever the situation might appear or I find myself facing. And so when we take a look at this, let me just add, friends, I don't know what your condition of attitude is, but I will say this contentment is very ungodly. You will actually not move on in your life with God and experience some breakthroughs if you're sitting there saying, I hate life. I hate what I'm doing. I don't think God cares. Discontentment, it fosters then unhappiness, discontented people, dissatisfied, and we just say, man, I'm just trusting God. No, a person would not. If they're discontented where they're at, when they say, I'm trusting God, what they're saying is, I hate this situation. I'm trusting God to move me out over to here. We're saying, be content right where you're at. That's what the Bible lays out. Be content with those things you have. No, I want more. And I don't want this. I want this. Now, we have to be careful because discontentment leads to complaining. You know, that would really cause a problem, not just in your relationship with God, but in your relationship with people. You may want to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Just write it down, verses 1 through 12. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 12. It has the reference of the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt, out of bondage. Hey, I like that. Man, I don't want to be held down by anything or anyone except God. But they come out of bondage, says they've been baptized in water, crossing the Red Sea. They are following that rock, and it says literally Christ Jesus, just similar to you who are here and have discovered faith in Jesus. Maybe some of you are here just kind of checking things out to see where God will fit in your life. But for you who have gone through those waters of baptism, trusting Jesus, it says then that whole nation started to complain. They didn't like the condition they were in. That's that setup. I mean, it's a whole section. And God visited them with judgment. They didn't like another time they decided to go into sexual misconduct, promiscuity. That's sexual immorality. And God brought in judgment again. So when we become discontented, we can say, I just don't like it. I'm going to make my own breaks. I'm going to make something happen here. I want to just add, if you're going to be content with God. You'll be amazed and quite impressed how your situation changes. Lord, I just want to find my contentment with you. Man, though something may not change, say a big time change in you, and watch how things start to move in your life. Woohoo, I like that. Number three, crucify self-pity so compassion can happen. Let's take a look just for a moment here. If you were to, well, Galatians 2:20, Scripture says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. When I say here, crucify self-pity, so compassion can come. Friends, one of the things is we think that we can maintain self-pity and still be powerful. It does not work. It really does not work. Self-pity consumed upon our woes is actually idolatry. You're actually so consumed with your own misgivings and what people have done, man, you can't break through. So when we talk, man, let's kind of get out there and just invite some people to maybe experience Hope Chapel or even just pray for them on the street. It is not going to happen to somebody that's locked into self-pity. You cannot see them. You're engaged in yourself, and as self-pity just paralyzes a person, it causes them to feel crippled. See, what compassion really is pity handled properly. Compassion in a person, when we see somebody that is not doing well and what condition they're in, there's something of compassion that happens in that person that says, oh, that's all. Oh, you feel it. You might move to do something about it, but if you or I have never been moved with compassion, you might want to consider it could be self-pity. You're too locked up. I hope everybody else goes and reaches out to our community. Man, I'm kind of tied up here with focus on myself. See, the love of God wants to move through me. Love of God wants to move through you. The compassion of God wants to move through you. Grace of God wants to move through you. The gifts of the Holy Spirit wants to move through you. But when we're locked into self-pity because of what something has happened or someone has done, terrible. We end up being angry and go around being bitter and resentful and mad. If you've been around people that are filled with self-pity, it's as if they've got a chip on their shoulder and anything, you got to walk on eggshells because it will not take much to tick them off. So when a person is filled with self-pity, they feel like the whole world owes them. The world doesn't owe you. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even really look for your source from there. Be careful. Be careful. I like the element of Matthew 9:36, where it says in Matthew 9:36 that Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes as sheep having no shepherd. They were weak and weary. Isn't that awesome? And then he goes and starts doing some miracles. But that, the verse 37, he says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers out there. He couldn't do it all. His journey was to give his life for you here today on the cross. But he recognized there are people that are hurting in your neighborhood and at your workstations, that unless something happens inside, we need the compassion of God. I sure like Romans 12:21, don't you? That last verse of chapter 12 of Romans, flip that around, it's 21. It says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. That's right. Overcome evil with good. That's an important thing. And I want to encourage you with that. It's okay to be angry. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27 says, go ahead, be angry. But don't sin, and don't let the sun go down on your wrath, verse 27, nor give opportunity for the devil. So anger is an emotion. We all get angry. It's nice to be angry for the right things. I mean, somebody ripping off dear grandma. But many times we could get angry because somebody didn't acknowledge us, hug us. So I'm going to get upset and hold resentment. But it's interesting because the enemy, the devil, will come along and just make our lives get filled with just, we're mad, we're bitter, we're resentful, we're unforgiving. Then you know what we end up doing? We go and do it to someone else. So the devil gets us all mad and so upset. How could this happen? I'm ticked off. But we turn right around and go after somebody else. That's why don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. It's important for us. It is harder to maintain self-pity. Man, I remember that. There are times I'll start my prayer, Lord, forgive me for my pride. Because I start looking at what I'm praying and how focused I am on myself, man, it makes a bleak day. It is more work to be in self-pity. It's crippling. It's paralyzing. It actually develops into a bondage, if you're not aware of that. A spirit of self-pity can give you plenty of ammunition why you should feel so lousy about everything in your life. It does not matter, even if you find the right person to marry, and they are wonderful. When self-pity comes back on into the scene, whether that's weeks or months or years, eventually you'll find something else to just get upset about. Be careful about that. Watch out. When we look and see some things, how many know you just can't satisfy the human flesh? Isn't that true? If you just kind of in self-pity, I have a dear aunt, Auntie Ann, never would drive, always complaining that nobody takes her around anywhere. Well, Auntie, get your driver's license. She eventually does. You're getting around good? Yeah, but now nobody wants to ride with me. And oh, brother, here we go again. You can't satisfy the human flesh. Isn't that true? You get something, and then it's not happening anymore with that same object or situation. Get a new car, isn't that right? You're out there every night before bed polishing that puppy. You are seeing your image on there. No children allowed without wiping their feet, taking a bath. Then 6 months later, what happens? That car, due to the lack of rain and water, gets dirty. Kids come in, they're eating donuts in the back seat. They, oh, I just bring the dog in and let it lick it up. What happened? Something changes. It's an amazing thing. Our human flesh just cannot be satisfied. Ladies, isn't it true? Buy 3 dresses in 1 setting, a week later, what happens? I just don't have a thing to wear. Don't get upset with that one. We'll find something else to compare. Let's do something here right now. Because Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, man, make sure when you stand against the onslaughts of those things trying to harm you, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When Jesus was assaulted in Luke 4, he didn't say, dear Lord, take this crummy situation away. He said, it's written. And if that's our Savior going at it with the Word, and you haven't got into discipleship program, you don't know the Word, you're really crippled too. And you do need accountable group that will help bring the Word of God, because each of us face trials. And it's the trial of your faith. Take that Word of God, but God will show you those things that are coming at you. When that lying spirit comes to try to put you back into self-pity, that you are nothing, you will amount to nothing, and you are no one going nowhere. Important to take the name of Jesus and say, no, the Word of God says differently. Matter of fact, let's just take a moment. Close your eyes just for a moment. Let's see how the Holy Spirit, who is here right now, can just bring back to your remembrance the thing you're being terrorized about, be it your health, your image, relationship with someone. Quietly just say, in Jesus' name, when you identify that thing, that's how the Holy Spirit works. God speaks through our minds. So does the devil. Say, in the name of Jesus, no more. No more. Be gone. That lying spirit, be gone. I'm going to believe God's word. He will not leave me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? All right, let's look up here and see, we finish off our last 2 points. Is anybody getting anything out of this? No, all 3 of you. Good. Number four. Do not be negative in your attitude. Things happen. You've all heard that life is made up in your life 10% of what happens to you, 90% of how you respond to what happens to you. Don't be negative. Seriously, do not be negative. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10 literally just says this: we are hard pressed, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but but not despaired. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but we're not destroyed. I mean, that is a pretty cool approach to life. Yeah, life's a rock, but I'm telling you, we're okay. We're okay. Man, don't be negative. Have you ever held ground with anybody that's negative and you just hang out and you feel like it's your duty to somehow bolster their good attitude and they're negative all the time? You know what I'm talking about because you give them just two positive thoughts and they like freeze up. Their brain gets locked. What? What? They cannot go in a positive direction. They are looking only for the negative. And if there's not enough, they'll get on the 10 o'clock news because they sleep better when they're terrorized by dreams. Don't do that. Do not do that. Your attitude will make or break you. Now, I know we've heard that, but the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 4. And eventually, if you want to know what a person thinks, just talk, listen to what they're saying. Just because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You love me? Oh, yeah. But then something else comes out. So we have to be careful. Number 5, recognize you have a weakness and handle it God's way. Man, it is so good to know you have a weakness. Back with our single adults that are parents. We recognize this, that now you're having to take care of the children all by yourself. You had 2 income streams, now you're down to 1. You're challenged by things and making decisions. You wish you had extra help. You don't. It literally can be as if you have a limb cut off. We really could say that you are handicapped. It's all right to say that I'm handicapped as a single parent. But it's a good thing to actually recognize weaknesses because it makes us more dependent upon the Lord to see the miraculous happen. Look at the last verse for today, 2 Corinthians 12. Can you find 2 Corinthians 12 right after Acts, Romans? Then you'll see 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Let's get our keyboardists up. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in what? In weakness. Can you see that there? Red letter edition, that's God speaking. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Wow. Tell you, things can get a whole lot worse without God in a person's life. But what's amazing about recognizing our weakness is that it makes us draw upon the Lord for strength. If you haven't found that strength to just say, Lord, I do not know how to do this. I'm not sure how it's going to come about. I just know it is you I need. Then you're a candidate for some of the best miracles ever in your life. Stay put. Keep drawing to Him. I do find, though, when my life, or maybe so with yours, when things are comfy and cozy, isn't it amazing how just the slightest little discomfort just throws everything into a tailspin. We're just not used to that. We're especially not used to coming to the Lord. God has a way of just kind of bringing us back to Him. It's a good place. Man, let's boast in our weakness. Why? That's where the glory of Christ comes upon you, and you are equipped and powered up. It's a great place to be. It's a great place to be. Point 5, recognize you have weakness and handle it God's way. You can handle it your way. But the message today is, isn't it great to know you're not single, you're not by yourself? It is fun and quite a journey when you start to do things with God. So on this occasion, we want to just close our Bibles. Let's do that. And I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Would you join me? Let's wait on the Lord. What a wonderful day. So glad that you're here. I hope you'll be back. I hope somewhere God lets our journeys kind of meet. And it'll be fun and enjoyable. But we don't do life by ourselves. It is not God's plan. We're called the body of Christ. It's intentional. And that's where God said in his creation, it is not good. It's not good that man should be alone. Yes, he was talking about marriage, but he was just saying, God does not want people to be isolated. It's a death sentence. Let's be transparent. Find those people that are spiritual and intentional to help bring the life of God into your life. And let's let the Lord do a miracle even now, shall we? Would you just close your eyes with me for a moment? Father, we sure love you. And you know where our situations are. And we just admire our parents, but especially our single parents. Some of them are so courageous and have maintained a faithfulness to their family and to their faith family, making sure their children learn faithfulness to the house of God. Bless them. And Lord, for our singles who are here and have gone through the pain of somehow being rejected, Lord, bring healing and strength. Lord, for all of us, there's acceptance in Jesus Christ today. So Lord, would you just move right now, just before anyone moves anywhere, just move and Lord, whisper how they are loved by you and accepted through Jesus Christ. While eyes are closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus and feel the need to do just that, he loves you. It's a great way to live life, knowing you're not alone, but you're feeling lonely. You just raise your hand up and put it right down and say, man, I could use the Lord in my life right now. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Let's go ahead and let's just pray this simple prayer. Simple prayer. But this prayer, I'm going to invite you to pray out loud, all of you, so nobody's singled out for the sake of those two hands. Shall we do that? It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you, that you are the Savior of the world. And I confess to you now, Lord, my sins and mistakes. Please forgive me. Wash me clean. Come into my life. Right now, Lord, I invite you in to stay forever. Lead me now, Jesus, to become the kind of person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise God. We thank the Lord for you. We thank the Lord for you. Praise God. We want to dismiss you in just one moment. Honey, would you come on up here? I just admire this girl. Isn't she just, you're a distraction sitting in the front row, but that's so cute. We want to make sure we have individuals that are here to pray for you. So if those individuals would make their way forward, we don't want you to just kind of cut and run. If you feel the Lord needs something further to be done in your life, remember, man, accountability is a strength. It's a gift from God. Let them pray for you. Or if you gave your life to the Lord, you just said, man, I just don't have a Bible. We've got our ushers back there with a Bible, and it even says, now that you're a Christian pamphlet, please take one of those with you. And I'm glad that you're here. Aren't we glad? Aren't they all looking happy and healthy and just joyful? Well, what a great month of July. Let me just send you off with a blessing. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness. Lord, those who have given their lives to you or been stirred by your Spirit through the worship or just the happiness that comes when we see people go into the mission field or we send people off into their next assignment or we hear the word of the Lord saying, it's all right. You will be all right. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for us today. Now we go, not just all by ourselves, let people feel really embraced by you this whole month. Start today that those that need sleep, sound nap today. Great productive work week or study session. Lord, just prosper them. Everybody just says, something's different about you. Tell me more. So we love you, Lord. We're going to tell everybody how much Jesus loves them. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God's blessings to you. You're dismissed.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.